And we have a division report.
You can move it.
Senator Higgins, you want to move the division report?
Sure.
Well. I think Senator Stump, I saw him somewhere. I didn't see him down. Oh, Senator Stump, I'm sorry, you're hiding. Senator Stump will move the division report.
Madam Chair, I'd love to move the division report.
All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Oh, Senator Cohen.
I just was getting the meeting started.
We had a coup.
Okay. Senator Saxhog, Senate File 2598, we've adopted the division report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. This bill is a department request to pick up some clarifying language that was inadvertently missed last year. The language will solidify the intent of the legislature from the last session relating to collaborative urban educator grant program. The money was appropriated last year, and the programs are continuing as intended. This language will simply clarify that intent. With me today, I have Eric Nauman from the K-12 Education Committee to answer any questions you might have.
Okay, we have the bill in front of us. And are there questions? Senator Stumpf?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I don't. We accidentally kind of left out some language last year in the conference committee report, and what this does is kind of clarify that.
Okay. Are there further questions on the bill?
Because she's not ready. Move the bill.
She's here. Okay. Anybody wish to move the bill?
I would, Madam, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Stumpf?
Sure.
Senator Betzold, did you?
No.
Senator Stumpf?
Mr. Chairman, I would move Senate File 2598 be recommended to be passed and sent to the floor.
Okay, on the Stumpf motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members.
Mr. Chairman, my bill's really quick if you want to take it.
Sure. I walked in with Senator Anderson, but she wasn't in the car crash, but she's here. But let's go ahead with Senator Pappas. Senate File 2364. Division report. Senator Pappas moves adoption of the division report. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, this is on behalf of the Higher Education Finance Authority. It's an authority that we have created so that our private college institutions are able to sell revenue bonds for their construction projects. And usually we carry this in the omnibus finance bill, but because it went so early and it's an article in your bill, we decided to take it separately. And it's lifting their authority from $950 million to $1.3 billion. There was something that was left off in division, and that was the provision that allowed this to go into effect upon enactment. And that was mistakenly left off, so I'd like to offer that as an amendment, an oral amendment.
Okay, so Senator Pappas, what again are you moving to amend?
I'm sorry. Mr. Watson will have the language.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, it would be page 1 after line 13 and insert section 2. This act is effective the day following final enactment.
Okay. On the Pappas amendment, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
Then, Mr. Chairman, I move that Senate File 2364 as amended be recommended to pass.
Okay. On the Pappas motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Well, I know Senator Anderson is here. I don't see the other authors. Is Senator Sparks or Senator Bach here? I don't think so. How many division chairmen have policy bills they want heard by next week? Mayor Berglund?
There's quite a few coming out of my division.
Okay, but do you have...
They're not all...
Omnibus policy bills?
No.
Okay.
They're all separate, but...
All right, so
anything
that's...
Anything that got money out of it, we sent it through, so...
She's coming.
Okay, Senator Anderson, you've got two bills on the agenda. Senate file, which one do you want to take up first?
I don't, it doesn't really matter, Mr. Chair. How about the LCCMR?
Okay, so we have Senate file 2462.
House file.
Yes, please.
House file. Passed it already?
I don't care.
Yeah, they did pass it already.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Watson?
Yeah, I'm trying to read it.
On the procedure on this bill, the House file has come over, okay. So we'll be working from the House file. But Senator Anderson would prefer to take the Senate language.
Correct.
The Senate language was in the division, and it was amended. So there is a division report that shows that amendment. But what Senator Anderson, I think, would like to do move that the House file be amended with the language of the Senate bill plus the division report. So you're not adopting the division report because that bill is not before us. This is the House file, which was not in division.
All right. Before we get to that, I was informed because I got here a couple minutes late that apparently we did not have a quorum when we voted the other two bills. So let's revert back to Senate file 2364, Senator Pappas's bill. Senator Pappas has moved out of the bill. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. And then on Senator Saxog's bill, Senate file 2598, Senator Stumpf moves adoption of that bill. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. All right, back to Senator Anderson's House file 2624. So,
Mr. Chair, I do have an amendment that...
Senator Anderson, let's make sure we got the bill in the shape you want, with the division report you want. So, Mr. Watson?
So, Mr. Chairman, at this point, I think you know what Senator Anderson wants to do. Now she has an additional amendment that will pass out here in a moment. The amendment is drawn to 2462, and her intent would be, once that's adopted... Then, with that amendment and the other amendment, to move that package as an amendment to the House file. Can we pass this out now?
Yes.
Yes, please. Well, Mr. Chair, I guess I'm trying to understand whether I should offer the amendment before I offer the division report language and amend that, or offer it after we adopt the division report.
Yeah, we should adopt the division
language.
Report.
No, we're not.
Mr. Knopf says the amendment is drafted to Senate file 2462, but perhaps that'll work either way.
Well, so we should adopt the division report first to
Mr. Chairman.
No,
Ms. Watson.
Mr. Chairman. Probably the first motion for Senator Anderson is to move to amend the House file with the content of the Senate file. You
correct.
Adopt that motion. Then you move to further amend the bill as amended with the division report language.
Okay.
And then you will move to amend the bill as amended with the
A4.
Third document.
Why wouldn't I just move the division report language and skip the first step?
Because then you don't have the Senate language.
Just take it one step at a time.
Well, the division report is just the amendment page?
Yes.
Got it. Okay, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move to amend House file 2624 with the language of Senate file 2462.
Okay. On that motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay.
And Mr. Senator Chair, Anderson. I'd like to amend House file 2624 with the division report of 2462. And the division report, members, you have that in front of you, and that was just some typos on numbers and technical change on the name of the Conservation Corps.
Okay. On adoption of the division report, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Senator Anderson.
Mr. Chair, finally, I have the A4 amendment I'd like to offer.
And that's been distributed.
And it says Senate file, but I'd like to amend it to House File 2624. And this is, again, technical changes that fix the titles of some of the projects and conform them with their original titles or the intent. And so I would put this in as a technical amendment.
All right. We have Senator Anderson's motion on the A4 amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Senator
right.
Anderson.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and committee members. I apologize for being late. I would like to just acknowledge that the LCCMR members include, from the Senate, there are five members, including our chair, Senator Vickerman, myself as a member. We also have Senator Fredrickson as a member, who's a member of Finance, and Senator Chaudhry and Senator Parisseau, who's also, she's a member of Finance, isn't she? And we also have a citizen member, Norm Moody, I believe, is here, and want to recognize him and thank him for coming as well. Just as a reminder, we have 17 members, 7 citizen members, and 10 legislative members. And we have been bringing this package to you every year as a recommendation from the Legislative Citizens Commission on Minnesota Resources. We have voted to change our process in the future to a biennial process again and try that and see how it works. So what we have here is recommendations, the 2010 recommendations that will take effect in on July 1st of 2010 for the 2011 fiscal year. And our total, sorry, I'm not completely prepared here. Our total appropriation amount is $26,029,000. And members, just by way of reminder, we are 40% of the lottery proceeds are the only part remaining that the LCCMR receives, but we do receive it by way of the proceeds from the sales of 40% of lottery income go into the trust fund, the environmental trust fund corpus, and 5% of that earning is available to us every year for allocation for natural resource and environmental projects. And so that's the number, that 5% earnings represents the $26 million package that we propose to you today. This has gone through my division and passed there unanimously. And I think what I'll do, Mr. Chair, rather than name each project separately, is just tell you the categories and the dollar breakdowns for the different categories, unless you'd like me to go into more detail. And I believe you have the long sheet probably at your places that summarizes our recommendations. And our constitutional mandate is fairly broad, and we spend a great deal of time as a commission coming up with our RFP, hammering out our priorities and our strategic goals for the long term, and that's the basis of the categories that you see here today. So what we're recommending is $4.9 million, $4.920 for natural resource data and information, and some of these are projects that are continuation of other kind of programs that have been going on for a number of years, like the Minnesota County Biological Survey, groundwater atlases, so that we can continue our effort to map what our groundwater resources are in Minnesota, and other similar kinds of foundational data and information. And we collect the data and we make it available to the public so that it can be used by the public and by natural resource professionals. The second category, land, habitat, and recreation, recommends its 8 appropriations for a total of $10,180,000. And this includes funding for some of our habitat corridor programs that we've funded several times before. Outstate Greater Minnesota habitat corridors are creating connections for habitat to be able to thrive and have land masses that are connected where they can have healthy ecosystems in which to live, as well as metropolitan area corridors that connect fragmented land for habitat purposes. We also have some acquisition recommendations in here for some state parks. And this is, for example, there's a piece of land up along Highway 61 by Split Rock Lighthouse. And you saw a similar acquisition in the bonding bill, and this piece is an additional piece that's right along the highway, and it has gorgeous views, I think, of the lighthouse itself. And so that's an example of the type of land acquisition that we have in here that would infill some existing state parks and round out their boundaries with some really key pieces of land. The third category for water resources, $3.455 million, and this includes research and analysis projects. And some of our focus in recent years has been research and testing of issues related to emerging contaminants in water, like endocrine disruptors, dioxins, pharmaceutical compounds that get into our lakes and rivers and groundwater and can be harmful to fish, wildlife, and humans. And we have a project that would look at existing sulfite in, I think it's in the St. Louis River estuary, and figure out ways to try to mitigate that pollution, and et cetera. We have a category of invasive species, and this includes aquatic and terrestrial invasive species recommendations for $1.47 million, and this includes four different projects for trying to control European buckthorn, garlic mustard. Emerald ash borer in particular is threatening a particular type of ash, Minnesota's black ash forests, which are a unique ecosystem in out in the northern forests that are threatened by the presence of the emerald ash borer. And so we're doing some research and analysis on that, and also some invasive species in Lake Superior. The next category is for renewable energy projects, $3.364 million, and that includes some pilot programs and research on renewable energy, including looking at biofuel production on land that will provide habitat benefits as well, and analyzing some other renewable energy options for Minnesota's future. And the last category is environmental education, and this is something the LCCMR has supported over many years. We have a total of $2.640 million recommended for a variety of environmental education programs around the state. There's a real diversity of creative ideas in here, and one of them includes focusing on our environmental learning centers, which we have around the state. I know both my sons have had the benefit of visiting some of these environmental learning centers through their school, and a lot of school children across Minnesota, thousands of them, go to these environmental learning center programs during their school years and are exposed to the outdoors and environmental programming, and we're putting some money in there to help retrofit those facilities and allow them to become very energy efficient and to incorporate renewable energy in their systems.
Carlson.
Mr. Chair, Senator Anderson, I haven't examined the details of a lot of these environmental ed projects, but have you built in anything along the way for any evaluation or follow-up in terms of the impact of these expenditures and projects on learning, and do they link at all to any of the standards that are the academic standards that are in place?
Mr. Chair, Senator Olson, that is a really great question, and I'm going to ask Susan Thornton to help answer that. She's our executive director of the LCCMR, and let me have her, if you don't mind, start.
Ms. Thornton.
Mr. Chair and Senator Olson and members, I'm Susan Thornton, director of the LCCMR staff, and each of the projects we work very closely with to make sure that they do have an evaluation component within them. And then we as staff work with the projects over time and get additional outside technical assistance and review. And then if you notice, one of the projects in here, it's subdivision 8F, expanding outdoor classroom. No, excuse me.
Page 18,
integrating environmental and outdoor education, grades 7 through 12. This is working with the Department of Education, the Department of Natural Resources, for some teacher training to integrate environment and outdoor education into academic standards. Now, this will not be creating new academic standards, but assistance in that integration. And we're going to be working with all of the environmental ed recipients and getting them together periodically so that we have a consortium, if you will, that are learning and evaluating from each other's projects.
And, Mr. Chair, a number of the other projects specifically do intend to work with either with specific schools or with groups of teachers to integrate the standards into or using their programming to help the teachers achieve the teaching of those standards. I know that the program in St. Paul at Como Woodland has worked with hundreds of local teachers, science teachers, to help them meet their academic requirements with their students by using this outdoor education opportunity.
And Mr. Chair, Senator Anderson, given the progress we're making in terms of data collection, it would be interesting to follow up with students to see whether there's any connection between their performance on the assessments with the experiences that they've had. Is there any kind of correlation shown? I'm not sure if any of that's built in. That takes time. Obviously, it's over time that you would do it, but I think that could be useful because I think that's the kind of thing that tells you whether we're getting some return.
Absolutely, Mr. Chair. I think that's really a great idea, Senator Olson, and we should think about how to incorporate that in the future in more, you know, more specifically and intentionally. I think that's a really good,
thank you,
good suggestion.
Okay, Senator Anderson.
Mr. Chair, if there's no further questions.
I have a couple of questions.
Okay.
First of all, this is the first year since we were in session last year where we've had recommendations during the session from the LCCMR as well as the Lasard-SAMS Council. So is there any work that's done in conjunction with that council in terms of so there's not duplication or how things have been going?
Mr. Chair, last year we also had both of those bills.
But we didn't adopt the Lasard-SAMS until the end of the session. So what I'm wondering is what's happened this past year in terms,
okay,
of integration between the two.
Sure. And maybe you can speak to that as well. But we did have one joint meeting between LCCMR members and Lasard's Council members, and I'm the only person who serves on both. And it was an effort to try to talk about coordination and strategic planning, and I think there's a lot of interest in doing more of that. I don't think we have a clear plan yet how we can, you know, align our goals and not duplicate each other, but I think we're trying to move in that direction. And we did the LCCMR recommendations first, and so we had that information in front of us when the council did their recommendations. So there was definitely, the first steps have been taken to make sure that we're not duplicating each other. We have really settled on different missions for the dollars and interpretations of what the constitutional mandate is. So the Heritage Fund is much narrower in what it's available to be used for. It doesn't include, at least the current council's interpretation is that it doesn't include any research or environmental education or anything in those areas. So, and those are areas that the LCCMR has a long tradition of working in. Did you want to add?
Ms. Thornton.
Mr. Chair and members, and then we're looking into the future. Staff have been talking from both the council and the commission. And then also we requested, before the commission made their settled on starting their recommendations, their allocations, that the strategic plan, as it stands from the Outdoor Heritage Council, be presented to the commission. So we've been working on sharing and trading information. And then also we are looking in the next summer and fall months of doing some joint field visit tours.
And, Mr. Chair, I would say that it's a work in progress to align all the at least the outdoors parts of the constitutional funds. And, we hear from public folks who participate or seek funds or observe that it would be helpful to have kind of more of a streamlined process so that if you wanted to apply for funding, you could more easily do it among the different funds. And I think that's a long-term goal that I'd really like to see. I'm not sure how we're going to get there. It's going to take a little time to work those details out.
Mr. Chair.
Well, Senator Foley.
Senator Anderson, I've been in the Senate now for 14 years, and I've never been invited to any of these programs. I have no knowledge about what goes on in this secret. but basically, it would seem to me that it would be very nice that the members of the Senate get some information on what's happening here and why is it happening. I know this has been in effect for a long time. My predecessor, Gene Merriam, was deeply involved in that, but he never passed anything on, so I haven't.
Well, Mr. Chair, Senator Foley, that's a really good question. There's no secrets here. I just want to be clear about that. All of our work is done in public, and we spend, as members of the council and the commission, spend many, many hours during the interim months doing strategic planning, creating and writing RFPs, identifying priorities, and then ranking proposals and hearing them. And so there's always a lot of opportunity, kind of like in our committee hearings, for the public to sit in and listen or testify and to know what we're doing. And our process is really open and transparent, I believe. And the website that the LCCMR has, they've been really beefing that up, I think, in the last couple of years and trying to put as much information as possible out there for the public so that they can track where these dollars go. But having said that, it would be really nice if we could report more on our successes to each legislator and so people know what's going on in their own districts, because I have no doubt that your district and the area around where you live has benefited from some of these projects over the years. And we should think about how to make sure that you have that information better delivered to legislators.
Thank you.
Senator Anderson, let me get back to my question relative to, so I thought Senator Foley might have had a similar question, but my question is relative to the Heritage Council, because it's unlike the other, say, the conservation part of the constitutional amendment, those decisions are made by the same people who make the decisions, not totally with the LCCMR, but certainly there's more of a intersection of folks. So where you have two separate councils, as you point out, with only one single joint member, I just wondered from either a staff perspective or a council membership perspective, if, you know, I guess you've suggested some integration. Ms. Thorne, have you worked with your counterpart on the council over this past year? Or?
Mr. Chair, yes, staff do work together. We are commission and council staff. We are located down the hall from one another, and we check in on a daily basis, shall I say, and also consult with each other on projects that are before us or being funded. The makeup of the LCCMR are 10 members of the legislature and then 5 members appointed by the governor and 1 by the House and 1 by the Senate. So we have a 17-member commission. Yeah.
Okay. And last year, obviously, there was some controversy, I don't know if it was warranted or not, but relative to the Emerald Ash Borer appropriation that was made at the end of the session. Is that something, is there more money needed for that at this point, or was that sufficient last year? And if not, is that something we should be looking for this year?
Well, Mr. Chair, that $2 million was really critical at a time when the outbreaks, or whatever, what's the right word, when the beetles were discovered, to have some response for the communities that were affected and for other communities to plan. And being the senator who has the dubious distinction of representing the neighborhoods where the Emerald Ash Borer was first detected, I personally found it critically helpful in St. Paul and Falcon Heights and in our surrounding area. the bonding bill did contain, I think, $3 million for protection
okay, that's
of forests from emerald ash borer. And so that's available statewide, and I think that will go a long ways towards helping for the next year.
Okay. All right, thanks.
Mr. Chairman?
Other, Senator Fredrickson.
Mr. Chairman, on the topic of emerald ash borer, we're going to be fighting that beetle for a long time, and the effects of the emerald ash borer could be really catastrophic if we do not do everything we can to control it. There's one appropriation in here for emerald ash borer, particularly looking at its effect on black ash in the northern forests. And I just want to point that out as one place where the commission was proactive. We knew that emerald ash borer was a huge problem, and that is a proposal that we invited in to come before us and make a presentation to how we might affect and slow down or stop the spread of emerald ash borer. So we're going to be talking about emerald ash borer in Minnesota for a long time.
Okay, thanks.
Mr. Chair.
Sir Vickerman.
As chair of the committee, we worked very hard and spent a long time, a lot of hours, a lot of days trying to put this package together. But we made it very clear that it was going to be a statewide package and not just a metro versus rural. So if you look at it, it's I'm very confident it is a statewide. Significant. That's what we need to have. We had a lot of discussion, not only with legislators. We had the Citizens Committee. They were there. It's a good bill. I hope everybody will get behind it and support it. I don't know how we can make it any clearer.
Okay. Further discussions on the bill. Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I came in a little late, Senator Anderson, so I'm just wondering, and I hear members supporting the proposal, so I'm assuming that the recommendations that came from the council are the ones that are in the bill, or are there some different ones?
Mr. Chair, Senator Roebling, we're doing the Legislative Citizens Commission on Minnesota Resources bill first. So the commission, yes, you're not referring to the Lessard-Sams Council. That's the next bill. And in both cases, I'm presenting the recommendations as presented by the commission and the council, and I support them, and I would hope that we would vote those packages intact and keep them intact because they represent a good balance after, as Senator Vickerman said, after, you know, a really extensive process of deliberation and taking input. And so if you start to upset that apple cart, you know, it's hard to maintain balance and maintain, you know, the broad array of things that are important.
Thank you.
Okay. Further questions for Senator Anderson? Further discussion, amendments. Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If there's no further discussion, I'd like to move that House File 2624 as amended be recommended to pass to the Senate floor.
All right. On Senator Anderson's motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Then, Senator Anderson, I know you have another bill, but Senator Box here is not a committee member.
That's fine.
So
I can wait.
Senate File 2533, Senator Box. Senator Anderson moves adoption of the division report. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. Senator Bach.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill was originally brought to me by the governor's office. This was the standalone bill related to the acquisition for the Lake Vermilion State Park. And much of the language has been resolved in the bonding bill. So there's an A2 amendment that deletes a couple sections out of the bill that were resolved, I understand, resolved in the bonding bill.
Mr. Chairman, I'd move that amendment.
Okay, well, which sections are those? The amendment's being distributed. But
we have a division report.
We adopted the division report.
Mr. Chairman, delete section 2, and then get a look here. The deletion in section 2 is some language relating to public access until a park is actually developed, and that, I believe, was resolved in the bonding bill. And then the deletion in section 3 is the actual the cap that we had on the acquisition not being more than 12% of the appraised value, and that was resolved in the the bonding bill also. The language inserted is requires the DNR to manage this park as one park. Right now, the new Vermilion Park is adjacent to the Sedan Underground Mine State Park. They share a contiguous boundary. So my request is, and the DNR's actual position is, their intent is to manage that as one state park with one entrance and one someday interpretive center building. So
oh, excuse me.
As much as I'd like the jobs in my district, Mr. Chairman, I don't think it would be a good use of public resources to manage one parcel of land as two state parks.
Okay. And what is the repealer, Senator Bach, before we get to your amendment?
The deletion of Section 3 is the language that was in the bonding bill in 2008 that said that the state couldn't pay more than 12% of the appraised value for the land. And that provision was carried in the bonding bill and already signed into law.
Okay. All right. Senator Box presented the A2 amendment. Is there, Senator Betzel?
Did we adopt the division report?
Yeah, we adopted the division report. Okay.
So that's the bill now, right?
So we have the A2 amendment. Is there discussion on that as presented by Senator Bach? Does anybody wish to move the amendment?
I'll move it.
Senator Higgins moves adoption of the amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Bless you, bless
you. So Mr. Chairman, the meat of this bill is lines 1.8 to 1.10. And what that is when the Vermilion Park was created, the boundary was established in 2008. Because that is an incredibly valuable piece of land, 5 miles of lakeshore, that U.S. Steel actually had already gone out for a development proposal. Some of the trees and the roads actually have been removed in preparation for doing a very large residential development there. The understanding that we reached with the governor is because the land has such high potential development and tax capacity growth for the county, that we would recognize we called it an enhanced payment in lieu of tax formula, where they would receive a higher PILT payment than we pay on other state land. What this bill does is it puts the Sedan mine that's adjacent to it into the same category. There's about 3 miles of lakeshore relative to the Sedan Park. And, Mr. Chairman, what I'm trying to accomplish here is my county commissioners in St. Louis County are not happy about this park. Matter of fact, I think today, at least, I'm the only one of the eight what we would consider Iron Range legislators that support this park. St. Louis County, where this park is located, is over 60% publicly owned now, and this is another very large parcel of land being taken off of the tax rolls. And just this last week, the county board voted on a 4-1 vote to propose to the legislature a hybrid type plan where part of the park could be developed. It was a front page story for 2 days in the Iron Range Daily newspaper. The story was that county commissioners were coming down to meet with state legislators. They came down to see me. And this is the county's proposal for a different kind of development there so that some of the park could be actually developed so that it wasn't all a state park. I haven't even opened the package, so I don't know what's in here. I only know what I read in the newspaper. I just know that my county commissioners are very, very concerned that in losing all of the potential tax capacity, and they're very concerned that now that we've made the acquisition, there's only $2 million left for development, and the governor's office has said, and DNR, that this is going to cost anywhere from $20 to $40 million to develop a park there. So the county board is very concerned that, over time, it may take a long, long time to ever get the money to actually develop a park, and that what they may actually end up with is not the economic development that happens around a park, but they just get another state land acquisition. And You know, I mean, I share some of that concern, and I really am not too excited about being in a position of coming down here every 2 years and having to scrap for an extra million or two in development dollars for what we all thought was going to be the state's premier park. So I share some of the concern that the county has, but I guess I'm willing to fight the fight going forward that the people in that Tower Sedan area that were told this is going to be a state park, that someday this legislature is actually going to bond for the money necessary to develop it. So the provision in here allowing Sedan to be in that same enhanced PILT formula ends up, I think the fiscal note on it, and it's in the out years, is it's about, I think, $90,000 of new payment in lieu of tax money, more than we're currently putting in today. That's not going to satisfy the angst of some of my county commissioners, but I think it does show a good faith effort on our part to recognize, you know, the lost potential tax capacity in a county that's now has a lot of public ownership of land already. So I really would appreciate your support on this. And then, Mr. Chairman, there's a larger discussion about just kind of PILT in general that I'm very concerned about. You know, a number of years ago, and Senator Stump, actually, I believe, was part of the negotiations when Senator Johnson was the tax chair, and they moved the payment in lieu of taxes formula out of DNR over to the Department of Revenue. And that's where it resided for a number of years. And then the argument was, it's just a pass-through. It's a payment in lieu. It's a tax program. It's just a pass-through, and it was just, people felt it was just too easy for the DNR to take a cut there because it didn't impact their budget. And then what happened was the DNR convinced the legislature that if they had that payment of lieu of tax money in their budget, that they could count that as natural resource spending for the purposes of leveraging additional federal money through Pittman Robinson, I think is the name, is one of the funds, and Wallop Row is the other federal money that comes our way as a result of some federal tax on sporting equipment and ammunition. And the DNR was successful at getting payment in lieu of taxes moved back over to the DNR's budget. And then, of course, what happened is exactly what Senator Stump and Senator Johnson said would happen. In 2006, under the PILT formula, every 5 years, PILT comes up for new assessed values, putting a new value on the land that the state owns, and the formula is adjusted for inflation. Well, sure enough, in 2006, when the five-year anniversary came up, the governor's office in his budget submission recommended not doing the $6 million inflationary increase that the counties that have this land were due. And fortunately, the legislature did not take the governor's recommendation, and the inflation was put into the formula. Well, now the five-year anniversary is coming up again next year, and in the forecast is built in. Right now, I think we currently pay a little over $40 million a biennium for payment in lieu of taxes. And I believe in the forecast, recognizing the inflation adjustment that's going to happen next year, PILT payment is going to go up by an additional $10 million to recognize the new value of the land. My concern is when you look at this kind of the status of our budget, it is just a very easy cut for the next governor and the next DNR commissioner to propose to the legislature, because it would be a cut in their budget and it would be no skin off their nose. It's only a reduction paid to the counties, a commitment that we made to them. We would reimburse them for taking this land off the tax rolls. So, Mr. Chairman, I feel very strongly that the whole payment in lieu of tax formula needs to be moved back over to the Department of Revenue. It's an open appropriation. And when we did there's no need for it at DNR anymore. They will tell you that they have adequate money in their department to leverage all the federal money that's available. What happened was when we did the lottery in lieu over to DNR, the sales tax on lottery tickets, that was a pretty, it seems to me, I remember when we did it was like $25 million. It was a lot of money that went over to DNR, and I think, and what the effect of that was is there is ample money in DNR's budget when the lottery in lieu was put there, that there's no need to have PILT in the DNR's budget any longer in order to leverage federal money. And those of us that have PILT lands in our districts would really like that open appropriation back over at the Department of Revenue because it just is too easy for DNR to take as a cut. I understand that. It doesn't affect their budget. So just wanted to get that on the record, Mr. Chairman, for the Finance Committee, because we all should care about that. You know, public land's a good thing. I support it. I play on it. I recreate on it. So do my constituents. But counties do give up a lot of potential tax capacity for having that, and we ought to keep faith with the commitment that we're going to reimburse them for some of that lost tax capacity. And, Mr. Chairman, I don't have an amendment prepared today, but I do want to have a discussion with you and with Senator Pogemiller about including in the tax bill a provision that would move it back over to the Department of Revenue. It would make Senator Anderson's job much easier next year because it's just a pretty easy cut over in the Environment Finance budget for the governor to propose.
So make her job easier or harder?
Would make her job easier in that she wouldn't, I wouldn't be bird dogging her not to take the governor's recommendation, whoever that governor is, to include a PILT cut in next year's budget discussions.
Okay, that'd be one way of looking at it.
Because it is an open appropriation.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Bach, you said that the addition of Lake Vermilion would add 90,000 to the PILT payments, but we have a fiscal note that says 427.
Well,
and so did something happen with the amendments that changed the fiscal note?
No, Mr. Chairman, Senator Berglund, that includes all the acquisition of the new land that's currently not paid out. We haven't paid any of that out in the PILT formula yet. The new park that we just bought, that's over $300,000 of that fiscal note. So it's really not quite fair to say that the fiscal note on this bill is 427,000 because over 300,000 of that number was actually carried in the bond, should have been carried in the bonding bill when the bonding bill was passed and the authorization to buy the land was made. So it's kind of being the fact that it's that fiscal note is in here is really scoring the money twice. But
Mr. Chairman,
Timberland.
Senator Bach, was the PILT payment made in the bonding bill?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Berglund, it's in the out years, so I don't know if they scored it, in the bonding bill or not.
Well, this says starts in fiscal year 12. Well,
correct.
If they didn't, then the fiscal note on your bill is $427,000, right?
Well, Mr. Chairman, that's always the challenge with land acquisitions. And the LCCMR bill that you just passed out of here has a fiscal note and an additional with the land acquisition there. I believe, Senator Anderson, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's about $130,000 is the general fund cost for the land acquisition that was in the LCCMR bill. There's also should be an impact, a fiscal impact on the Lessard-Sams bill. But what's interesting about the whole land acquisition issue is sometimes we score payment in lieu of taxes, and sometimes we don't. I mean, I've carried multiple state park boundary bills in my years around here, and I guess in most cases we never ever put a fiscal note on those state park boundary bills, even though we were doing acquisitions and there was real cost down the road to the general fund. So sometimes it's scored, sometimes it isn't.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think the LCCMR bill, the Lessard-Sams bill is about $120,000 that's listed as projected PILT costs, but the LCCMR is much smaller. It doesn't have as much acquisition in it. It's about, we're guessing, $10,000, $40,000. It's a guess. I don't know. I don't know that we have a fiscal note on it.
In any event, Senator Bach, the general fund dollars you question this bill are in their entirety PILT dollars.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, and sometimes we score it, sometimes we don't. And to Senator Berglund's point, the largest piece of that fiscal note should have already been carried in the bonding bill because we've made the acquisition in the bonding bill. And that's been signed into law. So really the fiscal note should be reduced by the amount of the Vermilion acquisition. Maybe Mr. Mossman can tell us whether they scored any of that general fund spending in the bonding bill.
Mr. Chair and members, it is Senator Bach is correct that the authorization to purchase the land was in the bonding bill. So The effect of PILT, just to be clear, the payment in lieu of tax provisions, is that it's an open statutory appropriation. So there's not actually any appropriation language specifically that was carried either in that bill or in this bill, because it's the effect of having more of the land in the state's possession and having it be subject to PILT that causes the statutory appropriation to increase. So the bonding bill impacts are being carried separately as part of the overall budget tracking that I do. So those provisions are being carried. This would be an additional PILT cost as in the tails, as would the other bills that are referred to.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator, Council just reminded me that when we deleted Section 3 from the bill, the acquisition language, that then should have taken out of this bill roughly $300,000 for the new Vermilion State Park. And the fiscal note should be adjusted downward as a result of the amendment. Even though I believe Mr. Mossman's right, that the PILT is really being carried on the bonding bill spreadsheet.
But right. Mr. Chair.
Sir Higgins.
We might have deleted Section 2, but your A2 amendment inserted a new Section 2 about with the sentence that said that all the land is managed as one unit.
I'm sorry if I misspoke. It's Section 3, page 2, Section 3, that should reduce the fiscal note. That's the language relative to the acquisition.
So we deleted that in the A2 as well, Mr. Chair, I think.
Mr. Chair, Senator Higgins, yes.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chair, as long as Senator Higgins has brought up that Section 2, perhaps I missed it when you explained that, but amendment
yes, I suppose
takes out language that's the same thing, only it looks like new language in your division report. Other than two words.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, the language that's in the A1 that came to the committee has some references to public use and hunting and fishing and trail use. That language was all carried in the bonding bill.
So Mr. Chairman, is the language, well, it's an A2 amendment, I think that's not A1, but is that language that was new in your division report, because it was passed in the bonding bill, and so therefore is current law then, essentially, and that's why it's not underlined where it is under, because there's really not much difference in land except for the one line that's new in both.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, that's correct. The language is in current law because of the passage of the bonding bill. That's the reason to delete it out of here.
Okay.
And the only new language is that they manage it as one park, not two.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I understand, DNR has actually testified on the record that that's their intent.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Berglund.
So, Mr. Chairman and Senator Buck, so we have about $122.2 million left. And my understanding, when I look at the fiscal note, is that this increased cost is the result of merging these two parks to be managed as one. So why does the Sudan Park end up costing PILT more when it's managed as one park?
Because there's Mr. Chairman, Senator Berglund, there's the new Vermilion Park has an enhanced PILT formula, a different PILT formula than other state land. And this just would include Sudan in that same formula. It's really the same parcel of property. You can't tell where one park ends and the other starts. And it's just my effort to find some peace with my county commissioners that are not very happy about this 3,000 acres being taken off the tax rolls. Not that this is going to make them happy, but it's something.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I just have a final comment, and that is I don't mind doing these things where we're spending money we don't have in the future. But by rights, it should be paid for out of the division that it comes from, not added to the general deficit, and I think that's what your bill will do, is add it to the general deficit.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Berglund, I don't believe that the division paid for the Sard Sam's PILT money that came here or for the LCCMR bill. Mr. Mossman can correct me if I'm wrong, but this issue is always a question about whether we pay for it or not.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Bach, I would say the same about that bill.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Anderson.
Senator Berglund, I understand what you're suggesting, but we've never done that before. I don't think we've even had fiscal notes showing the PILT before. I don't recall doing that last year. Maybe we did, but we've never put that in our budgets for these types of bills before. Now, that could change, I suppose, in the future. We might decide we want to do that, but we've never had the practice of doing that. And
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Berlin.
We haven't done it.
Senator Anderson, we've never had a $5 to $8 billion projected deficit either.
Okay. Is there something, Senator Olson, did you? Senator Tomasoni.
Mr. Chairman, and I hope Senator Bach opens the envelope because I think that there's 5.5 miles of shoreline on the Sedan site. Now, let me make it clear that all of this stuff is in Senator Bach's district, so I'm kind of deferring to him to get this right. But I'm also in St. Louis County, and so there's some implications. I think the county is maybe coming up with something here, and with the addition of the Sedan State Park, the Vermilion State Park, there's really a lot of property up there. And I think what the county wants to do is subdivide it a little bit so that some of the property that is now designated for the Vermilion Park can be used as commercial development. And it would still leave us with a huge state park. And so while I'm not going to have any kind of amendments here today, I think there's a possibility that there could be some room for some compromise here. So, and I think Senator Bach is aware of that. And maybe we have to look at it in the very near future here.
Sir Roblin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Bach, I've been to state parks and enjoy them a lot myself, but I've never been to the Sudan Mine one. And I'm wondering, how big is it? How developed is it now? How many campsites do they have? Are they well utilized?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Roebling, there are zero campsites. And that's been one of the criticisms of the county is this crown jewel that they describe as the Vermilion State Park. They already have. It's called Sedan. It's several miles of shoreline on Lake Vermilion that they've never developed. And somehow now adding the Vermilion piece to it, the new piece to it, is going to make it this crown jewel when the truth is we already had that and we decided not to develop it. And that's the concern of the county commissioners is if DNR really wanted a state-of-the-art state park on Lake Vermilion, they already had the land in their possession at Sedan to be able to do that. And we didn't need this additional acquisition in order to develop a state-of-the-art state park on Lake Vermilion, which is a highly developed lake. That's the concern of the county commissioners, is now what we've done is we just added an additional 5 miles to what was already several miles of shoreline on Vermilion. And, I mean, I share some of their concerns, but I'm hopeful that there's a lot of support for the Vermilion Park in the legislature. I'm hopeful that 2 years from now, members of the legislature are going to be willing to commit the money to actually then do the park development, even though there is a lot of maintenance in our state parks that needs to be done. We haven't committed the money to maintaining what we currently have, and now we're buying new.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Stumpf.
Mr. Chairman, yeah, I think this gets a little bit at the whole issue of the tension between, in particular, northern Minnesota and the metro area. And when you look at a map of public ownership of land, or public and, you know, meaning both federal and state, and you look across the northern third of the state or the northern half, you see a lot of counties up there that have an enormous amount of public ownership. Even though they have to still maintain roads and they have to maintain the drainage systems and they have to maintain all of the public infrastructure. And so it's easy for us down here, or much easier, to designate, let's just buy more land. And so I think there's a growing resentment amongst the northern tier of counties that as budgets get tighter and LGA gets cut and a number of other shifts and, you know, payment of services goes back to the property taxes, these counties are getting much more resistant and anxious about the public ownership. And so I think in lieu of tax payments, and I would concur with Senator Bach, back then Senator Doug Johnson and Senator Lessard and myself, every time we would get to the end of session and there would be no money left for in lieu of tax payments in the budget. And so we'd be down on one knee and sometimes two knees trying to beg for some in lieu of tax payments for these huge chunks of public land up in northern Minnesota. And so that's the reason why we got it shifted over to the making it a standing and open appropriation so that it would be treated similar to LGA payments that went out. And that took a lot of the pressure off because then the we didn't have to, as legislators, have to go and beg for this in lieu of tax payments. So I think the system should be in the revenue department and not in the finance department or budget and management department. And I think that as values rise out there in terms of seasonal recreational land and hunting land and so on, the counties are also concerned that if more and more of this gets put into state ownership or state and public ownership, that those adjustments ought to be made, as Senator Bach said, with inflation. Because you can turn around and sell, you know, public land or sell land for hunting purposes and get just about as much property tax out of it for running their local governments as you can if it's farmland or something. So it's a valuable commodity.
Senator Roblin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And you know, some of the resentment works both ways because I see a lot of money being spent for land far away from the population center. And when we want to get reservations at parks that are near the metro area, you can't. If you book in January, maybe, but if you want to do it in the summer. And so, you know, sometimes I wonder about our priorities. People have busy lives that can usually only go for a couple of days. They want to go somewhere close to home, and we are not investing in those parks that are close to home. I have some regional parks in my area that are quite undeveloped, too, because of lack of resources. And I think that's maybe where some of this money should be going if we're going to spend it. And you wouldn't have the problem you have. We'd have part of our problem solved because we'd have places that people can actually get to. And I understand your concern, but understand that I would like to see some more of this invested down here before, like, my area is completely developed. And we should be preserving some of that land where the population centers are really going to be.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Frederickson.
Mr. Chairman, we've been talking a little bit about the Sudan mine, and I want to point out that the unique and distinctive feature of Sudan State Park is the underground mine. It's an iron mine that was an underground iron mine that's just as it was when it quit production. I don't know how many years ago, 40 years ago, Senator Bach? It's very unique. It's 2,500?
Acres, yeah.
How deep is the shaft, Senator Bach?
Well, the actual mine shaft where the mine goes down more than 2,000 feet, almost a half a mile, the actual guided tour is not that deep. I think it's around 1,500 feet, but it's where iron ore mining started in Minnesota in 1881. It's a really, really neat piece of Minnesota history, and my hope is that if we can get this Vermilion, this park developed, that we would build an interpretive center that's jointly run with the Minnesota Historical Society to interpret the historical part of the Sudan mine along with the state park functions that the governor talks about, state-of-the-art state park, and that we could jointly run that like the Split Rock Lighthouse State Park is run jointly by the DNR and by the Historical Society. I think there's an opportunity going forward to build something very similar at Sedan.
Senator Murphy. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think there's some interesting ideas flying around here. I'm curious about what's in that envelope, too, after Senator Tomasoni brought that up, because I think that when you think about park users, people like destinations, and I think that mine, when I went up to with the group that visited both the proposed Vermilion Park as well as going in that mine and where the university has that research, my word, it's fabulous. And there are people who will love to use the park for its natural amenities, but there are some of us that are past that stage. And I think the whole idea of exploring, if that's one of the recommendations, finding some appropriately located land from out of some of that land that could be put into some commercial development where somebody, whether it's a hotel, motel, restaurant, that kind of thing that would, you could promote the destination and have, you know, that doesn't have to be on the lake even. That isn't, because you have the access then to all of the marvelous things that would be in there. And I think that we ought to be exploring that. I much prefer, you know that I've been battling this business of popping a bunch of some dollar amounts to solve the general fund problem by selling state land, and then we can't sell it. So we carry this crazy carry forward and think we've got money in our forecast, and we don't. I'd rather do it planfully in ways that would turn around and both get some land on the tracks rolls, but provide some needed services that would actually enhance the value of the park. Then the other thing, when you talk about the historical, then I think some of the historical and cultural aspects of the legacy funds ought to be looked at for use in developing such a thing. Because that is a marvelous part of our history, and we need to know it.
Okay. Further discussion on the bill?
And Mr. Chairman, and Mr. Chairman, and rightfully so, and Senator Bach knows this, and Senator Roebling touched on it, we have like $100 million of needs in our other state parks right now, and we've been cutting back on the necessity to develop them because of budget cuts. And so rightfully so, the county is worried about whether or not this ever does get developed because we're not even taking care of what we've got. And we haven't developed the Sedan mine over all these years.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Tomasoni, if you sold that, it shouldn't go into the general fund. It ought to be plowed back into the development. That's a way to get the development linked to the sale of any of that land to getting the whole package done.
Well, that's why.
Count me in.
Buy the land and sell it.
Possibility.
Further discussion on the bill. Further motions? Senator Stumpf?
Mr. Chairman, I'd move Senate File 33 as amended to be passed and referred to the Committee on Taxation. Correct?
Senator Bach.
Mr. Chairman, is that where the PILT provision should be carried?
Well, not at this point. I mean, if we go ahead with what you'd like to do, possibly, but...
I'm fine, Mr. Chairman, with it going to the floor and then having a discussion with you and Senator Anderson and Senator Pogemiller sometime later on the issue of moving the payment in lieu of tax payment over to the Department of Revenue. And I wouldn't plan on an amendment on the floor to do that.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I'd revise my motion then.
Okay, Senator Stumpf moves that Senate File 2533 as amended be recommended pass be referred to the floor. Further discussion on that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Senator Bach.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And one thing I think the committee needs to have a discussion about, as long as I'm here in finance. I think there is an issue relative to the LCCMR and Lessard Sam's Heritage Council that this committee should take a look at. The idea of having citizens on these groups and then forwarding recommendations to the legislature, I think something this committee should take a look at is the number of times that those citizen members recuse themselves from voting on provisions in their bills. I think there are a number of the citizen members that come out of different interest groups that benefit a great deal from the provisions carried in these bills, And I think they're doing the right thing. I think they're recusing themselves from voting when it affects the organization that they might work for or serve on the board of. But I think there's a very serious issue going forward of citizens promoting their own organizations within both Lessard SAMS and within the LCCMR that this, I think the legislature needs to take a look at. I just think it would be interesting to know in the minutes how many times people recuse themselves from voting on provisions in either one of those recommendations that were sent here.
Okay.
And I'll say it again. They're doing the right thing. They're recusing themselves from voting, but their organizations are benefiting financially by their participation on those citizen member groups. And I think it's something we should try to get our arms around because both of those groups are going to be around here for a long time, but I think there's a there's something that the Finance Committee should probably look at.
Well, and certainly, Senator Bach, there'd be the opportunity within Senator Anderson's division on this committee to look at citizen membership. There might be others affected as well, but we can certainly take a look at that, and obviously people can introduce legislation if they so choose.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate it.
Senator Bach, if you could, members, we would next have Senator Anderson's bill. We're at the end of the time, so let me suggest. Let me suggest because we're going to have to finish now. We've got three bills we have not gotten to. Senator Anderson's other bill, Senator Metz and Senator Sparks. We'll have a committee meeting Wednesday morning to take up these three bills, but we won't have anything else on the agenda. And hopefully get through these three bills. Senator Anderson?
I do know there's a number of people who came here.
Yeah, and I apologize for that, but we're at the end of...
I thought we were going to 11.
No, we're supposed to have a caucus now. We changed. Originally, and maybe member people in the audience understand, we originally were going to go to 11 o'clock, and we would have easily had time to finish everything, but at the end of the day, Friday, it was determined we'd have a caucus right now. So we don't have a choice. So committee is adjourned.